Show, the Soul Nectar Show. You're invited, delighted to discover who you are. Anything is possible if you believe. So join us on this beautiful journey.
Soul Nectar Show.
Soul Nectar Show.
Hi, this is Carrie Hummingbird, and this is Soul Nectar Show, that show that talks about the undescribable, the things beyond our awareness in this physical reality, the touching that place of deep nectar within ourselves, our purpose in life, why we came here, who we really are in truth, underneath the masks that we wear to go about in the world. And I'd love to share inspirational stories to help us connect with that place and to learn to live in a more empowered, beautiful way to increase the flow of love and joy through our lives. And what a perfect person to have on the show, Kim O'Neill. Welcome, Kim.
Hi, Carrie. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so delighted to have you on the show. Kim is just so much fun. I want to read you about her. So she, Kim O'Neill, is a speaker, trainer, author, and radio host. She has her own show. She is a person with heart, and I can attest to this, big heart and big positivity. She speaks on the infinite possibilities every day, every new day holds, how to move beyond life challenges and how to confidently stand in your awesomeness with an open heart, limitless mind, and grounded body. She often works with youth, job seekers, and adults who struggle to understand the value of who they innately are, guiding them to rediscover and reclaim their inner truth. She's both ICF certified and certified as a law of attraction coach, and therefore she takes a combined practical and metaphysical approach in her work. Her clients develop renewed self-confidence, increased positive self-talk, the ability to see their past with fresh eyes and release old wounds, and learn how to say yes to themselves so that they can experience more joy and fulfillment. She co-authored the first edition of Positive Minded People, Inspiring Stories of Overcoming Adversity for Living a More Positive Life. She is a Reiki Master Practitioner, Infinite Possibilities Trainer, Youth Mentor, and host of the Every Day is a New Day show on bbsradio.com. So welcome, Kim.
Hi, Carrie. Thank you.
Yeah, we've known each other for almost a year now.
Amazing. And so much can happen in a year.
Seriously. It's been a roller coaster ride of awesomeness.
Yes.
Don't stop the flow of the awesomeness. Keep it rolling. So, okay. But you know, we always start with that story. So, you know, I like to start with the story because we know the awesomeness is yummy and it's fabulous and it's wonderful. And when you're in the flow of it, like life is awesome and you just look at other people and go, wow, my life is great. I'm sorry. Yours is stuck.
Oh.
Well, you know, that's kind of how it is, right? But we didn't start there. We started in the stuck place. That's how we can have compassion for the whole experience, because we started in that yucky, dense, stuck, I don't know what I'm doing, I can't get over this, what is going on, place. So I like to start off the broadcast with some reality checks. Like,
good. That's nice.
Like, because, you know, people can start to think after a while, like, that Carrie Hummingbird, man, she lives in a different universe.
I know. Me too. I hear you.
Let's start with a reality check before we get into, like, the spinning it up, because you know not we're going to do that. So let's start with the story of, like, how did you start to awaken to these new perspectives in your life? Like, what was an experience that profoundly impacted you, or a collection of experiences that you went, okay, there's a different way I could be leading my life? So give us a little background about you.
Thank you for that intro. Well, I will say that for me, I feel like I've always been on this journey of wanting to be my best self, live my best life, right? That's just the way, the terms that we hear all the time, right? So I feel like that has always been part of my journey, part of what I was moving towards. But I always had a level of resistance within some of that. And I didn't know that I had resistance. I didn't know where it was coming from. I had people tell me, oh, you self-sabotage. Oh, you need to be more confident. I'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, I am confident. And what ended up happening, the way that I awoke more than, you know, I ever was, is really shared through the story that I share in the book. And I'll just show it really quick. I have a copy here.
Yay, positive-minded people.
Yeah. So,
and it's an international bestseller, right?
Yeah. Oh, God. It's definitely a top 10 Amazon bestseller. You know what? I'm not quite sure if it's international, but let's just say that
it's an awesome book.
It is an awesome book.
Okay.
So anyway, so the story that I share in here is what you just led into. It's more of a culmination of experiences in my life that led to this, I've got to stop fighting this. I didn't even know I was fighting, you know, experiences in my life. And wow, I didn't even realize that certain experiences from my past had affected me the way that they had. I thought being strong was saying, no, you know what? I'm strong. I'm not affected by that. You know, I don't need to delve into that. I don't need to, I thought my concept of being strong was completely different than how I think of it today. Being strong today is taking time to say, wait a second. That didn't feel so good. What was going on there? Because I now know the things that I don't actually acknowledge, they really stay with me. And whether I know it or not, they show up in other areas of my life that other people can certainly see. Maybe they don't quite know what they're seeing, but it comes out in different ways. So what happened? I mean, the story that I share in this book, it's, you know, I start off with something as, could be very standard for a lot of us. I went through a breakup, and it wasn't even it was a friendship breakup. You know, we tried to do the romantic thing a few times. He wanted it more than I did. And ultimately I kept trying to make that work. There were so many good things about our relationship, about our connection, our friendship. I mean, I've never had such an amazing friendship. And it was with a guy, so that was just cool too, right? It wasn't a female. And so that was really nice for me to experience. And so I kept trying to make it be this romantic connection that he wanted, because I somehow believed that I was supposed to make that happen, allow that to happen. It was supposed to be, I just needed to, you know, I just needed to accept it and get there. I kept trying to do that. I was moving away from what I innately knew. No, it's not supposed to be anything more than just a fantastic friendship. And it was when that friendship ended that I was so completely devastated and crushed. I mean, beyond any other romantic breakup I'd ever had with a boyfriend, I'm divorced. And I've had other, some very unpleasant breakups, but this friendship breakup was just so crushing to me that it broke me down to my core. And the way I now think of it is it really got me to kind of wipe the slate clean and start fresh, developing a new foundation in my life so that I don't crumble when relationships break. I don't like to use the word fail, but I have already in a couple places. So I'm working on stripping that away, because I don't believe that anything is actually a failure. I really don't. But it was through just the processing of all this, of getting back to a place of, okay, wait, I can't really deal with anything else right now. I've just got to heal me. I've got to work on me, because I'm not doing so good. And so I didn't realize that I was in the process of developing a stronger foundation. I was just in the moment of, okay, can we just get beyond, you know, like the first half of the morning, you know, really it was moment to moment to moment, just trying to get by, stay, you know, to not kill myself. That's, you know, what it boiled down to. And as I went through this whole process of strengthening that foundation, figuring out what happened, you know, why did this get to the point where it affected me so much? It ultimately boiled down to, you know, the foundation that I grew up with in terms of me and, you know, having a positive way to look at relationships in my life, me and, you know, with a male counterpart. I didn't really grow up with that to start with. So I didn't have that with my dad. And that certainly was a big story in my life that I for so many years was like, well, no, if you never, you know, if you never really had something, right? So if I never really had a dad, well, then I can't be sad that I didn't have a dad, right? Like, and that's not to say I didn't see him occasionally, but for the most part, I mean, I grew up feeling like I didn't have a dad. And so really getting to the place of saying, okay, yeah, that really affected me. You know, I got to stop denying that it impacted me. It did. It hurt. It was crushing. It was sad. And to work through that in the way that served me best. So that was really getting to the core of it and helped me to, you know, just further develop that stronger foundation within myself so that now, you know, whatever, you know, goes awry or goes unplanned in my life, it's like, that's okay. Like, I'm learning to move in the flow, and it doesn't matter what happens outside of there. I can still be good with me. And anyway, so there's a whole bunch of other stuff in there that, you know, was part of that journey, but that's like the story.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I resonate with that story. You know, I resonate with the early childhood way that you had relationships with your parents, you know, and how that mm-hmm. impacts you later in life. Yeah, and I think, you know, I had like three different dads. So I had one dad. There's only one dad. You know, he's the one I had since I was five, and he recently passed away, which is, you know, difficult because he was such a major influence in my life, such a positive role model. But, you know, I started off with my natural father was just really unfit, you know, to have a daughter, and, you know, starting to already sexually molest me at like 1 year old, you know. And then we go to the, you know, dad number two, like father number two, who's like, you know, a violent drunk and beating my mom up and trying to fling her off a balcony. And, you know, like, that's some scary stuff, right? And so 0 to 5 was all that darkness and scariness and like the uncertain things happening. That all got embedded in the framework. So was that true from 5 years on the rest of my life? Absolutely not. But was that in my foundation? And did it affect my relationships? Absolutely yes. So talk about that, because I know you're not in your head and you're right with me here.
Yes, I love it. So the first thing I want to throw out there, and this is something that came out for me as, you know, as the book started to really take off, and we started to actually say, here's the book now, we're telling our stories, something that I didn't expect to come through came through. And so I first want to just say, oh my gosh, Carrie, like, yes, what you've been through and where you are today, like, it's such a beautiful testament to anything is possible. It's a beautiful testament to, like, strength and what we can choose, what we can create, what, you know, we can be from here and go to there. And the thing that came through as, you know, I started telling my story is I realized that I had judgment about my story, because I could look at my story and say, a lot of people had absent parents. You know, gosh, well, it's much better than, say, you know, having a parent that molested me, right? It's, I could throw in all these reasons to say that my story isn't good enough. My story isn't beneficial to tell, you know, for anyone to hear. And I have learned this process. I've got to release that, because every story is valid. We don't want to take away from someone's, because I think when we start to judge it and we start to, and you're not doing that at all, but I'm saying this
because
and I know you're not saying this at all. I know that because I had some of this in me, I think other people do too. And I want to say that when we judge our stories, whether it be it's not good enough or it's too horrible or whatever, that's where we start to stop the growth and the learning and what we can gain from it. And I had to stop doing that myself. And I'm to some degree still in that process, but I know that people are you know, I believe there are people out there who probably need to hear, hey, look, I my dad wasn't there either. And yeah, you know, it sucked. And this is what I went through. And so you're not alone. And
you're not a crybaby for being upset about it.
Thank you.
And yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Kim. I love what you said, because what was it not good enough for? Compassion. That's really what it is, right? Okay, my story wasn't dramatic enough for me to get compassion or to be compassionate with myself. And I wanted to say, like, everything you go through in life merits compassion. This is not an easy thing, you know?
It's not. And I also have this, I'm sorry, what was that?
It's challenging.
It is challenging. And I ultimately believe, I mean, when you break it all down, it's not even about the story. The story, you know, if we choose to tell our story to others, that's what helps us connect to each other, to relate to each other, to be able to help each other, you know, find healing and that sort of thing. But it's not even about the story. It's about, what did you learn from it? What did you gain from it? So for me, okay, this has been my story. And for a long time, I was not willing to claim it. And I can also see how not willing to claim it allowed me to not be able to move forward with the things that I wanted to move forward with in my life. And so it's like, ah, Kim, if you really want to get over here, you're going to have to claim this. This is going to be part of it. They say that the story you most don't want to share is the story you got to share. That's the one to share. And I got to be honest, I didn't, you know, this was a little painful going, oh, I'm writing about this. I'm going to put this in print. It's going to be published. Like, really?
Well, you know, and also there's this part that says, well, I, you know, because I even have this, to be honest with you, when I tell people my story, they're like, oh my God, that's just horrible, you know? But for me, it was just my life. Like for me, and I have the same pattern that you're talking about where I say, well, it wasn't that bad because look, there's those other people that are starving, have no food or war-torn countries or, you know, like I can make up all kinds of stories like, well, it wasn't that bad what I went through. It's okay, you know? And I think that you're right. We need to claim it, not in the sense of like, because I think I didn't want to claim it because I don't want to be a victim. Like, I'm not a victim. And I think that we get in that victim place. Like, we don't want to be in that space because we see what happens. But it is important to claim it in the sense of I have responsibility to myself, for my inner child, to go back and say, hey, that was super rough. I'm going to be so compassionate with you and loving you. So tell me more about what you're thinking about this, because I can see you, like, connecting with this.
I love that you brought up the victim thing because that was a huge part of it too. It's like, well, if I claim it, then aren't I attaching myself to it, bonding myself to it for life and saying now I'm a victim of this? And I've never thought of myself as a weak person. That doesn't mean I haven't had weak moments, but I've never thought of myself as a weak person. So to think that I was actually going to claim this story, I mean, okay, we could call this daddy issues, right? I didn't want to claim that. Are you kidding me?
I don't want that either.
No. okay. I mean, that's one way to look at it and stuff. Bottom line is it's something that affected me and I have to own it to the degree that I can honor myself, honor my journey. I can heal myself and then release it. So that was the other part is finding the difference between, you know, it's one thing to claim your story and cling to it. And now that's the story you live by. And that's the story you tell. And that's your upper limit. And it's another thing to say, yeah, this is what I went through. And, you know, I made past it.
I want to, okay. Can I jump in?
Yes.
I feel this so strongly because in my journey, included a lot of mental health, right? It included from the time I was 1.5, because I was biting my arms and leaving these red welting marks in my arms. So I was like in therapy from the time I was a toddler. And then I stopped for a while and it was like teenagehood. Well, teenagehood, they said, oh, you know, it started with the labels. They said, oh, you're manic depressive. Oh, you might be bipolar. And then by the time I was 38, it was, oh, you're borderline personality, which is like, you know, I mean, people are just like, how can you, I just got interviewed on a show where the guy's like, nobody ever confesses that. Like, and you're out on radio talking about it. And here's why, is because I did the work to become boundless. Yes. I did the work to remove that label and that shame and that stigma from my field and that belief that there was something wrong with me or that I was somehow broken or that I wasn't complete. I did the work to erase that from myself, to heal it so that I'm neutral. Like, I'm like, you know what? That label means nothing to me because it's just a label.
Yeah.
But we do this to people. We shame people with these upper limits, right? Mm-hmm. And that is the opposite of healing because I interviewed Shaman Durek on this show and he mentioned, he told a story about how when the shaman is in the tribe, and somebody is ill or afflicted by something, they remove that person from the tribe to another location. They get them away from people. And then they work on healing them. And people come and they want to see their beloved or whatever. And they, oh, I want to see my love. I want to see. And he says, well, why? And if the person starts saying, oh, well, I feel so bad. I want to, you know, they're sick. They're going to die. He says, you can't come in. If the person says, they know they're going to get better. I want to hug them. I'm like, yes, you got this. He's like, you can come in. And our culture is the opposite.
Yes.
It's the opposite world of like what actually helps.
I love that. I love that story. That's beautiful because it clearly shows that they have the awareness of the energy we surround ourselves with is going to impact us. And, you know, especially when you're vulnerable and in a healing space, you know, while you're gaining that strength and that foundation, you know, you're more susceptible to being impacted by outside influences. So, I mean, one of the things I talk about too is about, hey, if you need to kind of sequester yourself, you know, turn off the TV. Maybe you got to step away from some of your friends. Maybe reevaluate your friendships or connections you have with people. Then do it because that stuff does factor in. It does impact us. And anyway, so I love that story.
Yeah, well, it gets back to like we're not trying to bypass the experience. We're not bypassing the experience, but we're not, you know, labeling or upper limiting ourselves by the experience either. So there's this delicate balance of like, yes, this is part of my journey. Now I've got to like sort through the chaff to get the wheat, right? Mm-hmm. And like take that with me forward into my life and go, okay, this is what I learned. And now how do I want to apply this wisdom? But I am not defined by my past.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like I've been practicing seeing the gift within the challenge for like 20 years. Because first off, I mean, no life is devoid of challenges. We all have things that we experience and are going to be painful, frustrating, challenging, all of that. To me, the way I look at it is, it's depressing to think that I'm going to experience things like that and not gain something from it, receive something from it. So one of the things that served me in being able to extract value from those experiences and to feel like my life, you know, has meaning and purpose, is to go, wait a second. Okay, hold up. How did that really odd, you know, frustrating, challenging situation, how does that actually serve me? What can I learn from that? And, you know, sometimes you got to dig really deep, but you can find something. Sometimes, you know, we experience something and it really is just the same lesson as what maybe we're supposed to get from five other situations in our life before that. And so sometimes it's like, okay, am I ready to really get that lesson now?
Sometimes it takes a few rounds.
Sometimes it does take a few rounds, yes. So
I'm so fascinated by this topic because I feel like this is part of the journey, right? This is why we're here.
Yes.
Is to have these experiences, to learn from them, but not to identify as them.
Yes. You know, the other thing where I was resistant to, you know, even claiming this story for a while is because, you know, I'm a coach too. And so oftentimes looking at people's stories, well, what story are you attaching yourself to? And I mean, we already sort of touched on this, but I found it was so interesting when I realized, oh, there's value in not just completely saying get rid of the story, but look at the story and what, you know, not just what can I learn from it, but like how can I, you know, and this is the first time I'm kind of explaining it in this way. It's like almost like how can I see that there's, tell me if this makes sense, Carrie. How can I see that there's love for me in this story? Not that, ooh, this story is tainted and I've just got to search like through all the muck to find the nuggets. But how is this story essentially a blanket of love saying, look, Kim, look, Carrie, you know, we love you. And through this story, you are going to find, you know, that connection back to yourself. And I don't know. I just, you know,
I love that. Yeah. I mean, I think it all is out of love, right? I mean, in my understanding of things, you know, we're here with our soul families and we're here, you know, we make agreements to come in and have these relationships and have these challenging circumstances and to work through it together as a soul family. We come in to learn and grow. And so a lot of times people will get upset with this, especially like early childhood abuse. Like they'll say, well, I didn't ask for early childhood abuse. Well, in fact, at some level, you did. At some level, you did ask for that. You asked to experience, you know, the master's level course on how to heal yourself from the inside out after being traumatized as a young child. Like you actually did sign up for that program. And why did you sign up for that? So that you can understand, so that you can have compassion with yourself, so that you can go into the darkness and bring the light to it. You know, this is like a puzzle. You know, I view it as like puzzles. Every life is a puzzle. You know, and there's missing pieces and there's pieces that aren't in the right places. And it's your puzzle to solve, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. That ownership piece, I think is so key, and it can be a real sticking point for some people, you know, to claim, okay, you know, I'm going to take responsibility for this. And I think like the fine line there is to say, there's a difference between, you know, I created this or I co-created this, however you want to say it that way, versus I deserved this. No, it's not to say that, yeah, there's a difference. And I think sometimes people hear, well, you're saying I deserved it. No, you didn't deserve it. But somewhere way before you came here, you know, you said, hey, this might serve me and what I'm trying to do. But the thing is, we come here and we forget all that.
Well, and people need to, okay, here's another aspect that helps with this, is that, you know, there's also been said that we will see every side of the coin. So every interaction, we'll see both sides. And you probably see it playing out in your life where in one relationship, you're the one who's like distancing from the other person. And then in another relationship, you like can't wait to get close to that person and they're distancing from you. And so in that way, you get to experience like both sides to that relationship dynamic, right? You can see it play out in your life. If you just stop and take a moment and look through your life, you'll find an example that that is true. So why wouldn't that be true at a bigger level? Why wouldn't that be true in this lifetime? You know, who knows? Maybe in some other life, I molested a child or I abused somebody, you know, and now I get to experience like what's that like being the one that's abused?
Yes.
It's possible.
It's totally possible. Yes, absolutely. Gosh, man, that's
I know. People have a hard time with it.
How long is your show?
I know, but listen to this. So let's just experiment with this for a second. So here's how you can accept this. Because how does it feel in your body to say it out loud? I was a victim of child abuse. All these terrible things happened to me, and then I got all these diagnoses, and then my life went to hell. Or, as a monster soul, I chose to have the experience of early childhood abuse to set frameworks in place that then I could sort, figure out, put things in the right place, and emerge as a victorious, shining bright light in the world. Which one feels better?
Absolutely, right.
That's the second one.
That's a simple, I love that, because that to me is the simplest way to say, hey, wait, you know, which one feels better? Because that's your clue. That's going to be even more true for you.
And even if it's not true, it doesn't matter. It feels better.
I've decided.
I don't need things.
I like it.
I mean, if it feels good, it's fine.
Yes. I agree with that too.
Yeah. If it feels right, it feels true. It opens a doorway for me to have more growth. Then that's what I'm going with. And isn't that about the law of attraction? Let's bring it over there for a second, because you are a law of attraction coach, right?
Yeah.
So here's what I've been teaching. I've been teaching this reinvent yourself method, which I realized the reason why I couldn't – remember I was struggling with my platform. Like, what's my message? What's my message? What am I teaching? I couldn't figure it out. It was so confusing. That's because it's exactly because of what I do. I'm constantly reinventing myself. So I finally thought, oh, okay, I'll teach reinvention. So I'm teaching reinvent yourself. And here's the thing. So from my understanding of it, it's like you have to become the frequency of the thing you desire, right? And that's what I realized I was doing. I was like becoming the frequency of my desires. I was doing the inner work. I was like identifying what I wanted, mm-hmm. identifying how it felt, the frequency, the feeling, and then going, okay, how far away am I from that? You know, and what's in the way? And we'll clear it up. I get closer and closer. And then as soon as I'm at the frequency, it's just a no-brainer. It just comes to me. So that's my understanding of the law of attraction in action. What about you? Like, how would you explain it?
So the way I think of it is it's energy on a spectrum, kind of like a continuum. And so there are two ways that I look at it. You can deliberately raise your vibration. So we know about, okay, connecting with joy, gratitude, you know, what does that thing that I want, whether it be an experience or, you know, tangible manifestation, whatever it is, that thing that you desire more of in your life, okay, what does that feel like? And how can I connect to that feeling in the present moment? There's that way to go about it, which can, you know, raise you up and connect you to that thing. So it manifests in the physical reality. There's also, what can I release so that I can flow up? It doesn't have to be, you know, some people, I think of it as, oh, I just have to be happy, 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 happy all the time. And then, but I can't do that. So therefore then I can't, you know, I'm probably not going to be able to get whatever I want. Joy is great. And it's going to play and flow. It's going to aid you in getting there, but it's not about being in this constant, like 24/7 happy, happy, happy state. It's about the flow of energy. So being in those states, those higher states, they allow you to have more flow, for things to be easy. When we play, we get in the zone, and right, and we're just like it's easier for us to be goofy and just right.
Do things. As long as you're not, you know, those blow up dolls that like they are, right, they do the thing, but the problem is they have an anchor.
Well, that's the other thing I'm talking about is
you're not, the anchor is the shit you're not dealing with, right? It's
yes. So exactly.
That's the problem with the happy, happy people.
So that's the thing.
Everybody can see the anchor.
Right. And so taking a look at, you know, what else am I hanging on to? Am I hanging on to regrets or guilt, or am I still blaming someone over there for something I experienced? Right. Am I, you know, do I have a lot of grief that I never fully processed? What is weighing you down? Because as much as you can connect with these higher states, sure, it's doing something, but you can even go faster the more that you release. Release those weights.
By facing the stuff that gets you triggered. Like, yes. Going right into the center of it.
Yeah.
And people are terrified to do that. Okay, but Kim, tell us a story of one time you went right into the center of the darkness and you came off victorious.
On the spot. Okay. One time I went to the center of the darkness. Come to me now. Carrie, you know what? There have been times, and maybe I'm going to share something else that's coming up, and maybe it'll come through as I tell you this something else. Okay. Okay. So this might even seem unrelated, but I'm going to share it anyway. So, what I thought was really interesting is, because, and this goes back to what you were just talking about of what's my message, is the chapter that I wrote about in the Positive Minded People book is called Intuition, Can You Hear Me Now? And that's because it relates to the story I start off with the breakup, of knowing immediately this guy's not right for me, and for 4 years still trying to make it be something more than friendship. So that's just one example. But what was really interesting is just in the process of writing this story alone, I had to relearn the exact thing that I'm talking about. So, you know, I started off, there was this one day where I was like, okay, yeah, you know, what's the story I'm writing about in this book? And all of a sudden it's like, it's time to tell that story. And so the first version, of course there's many versions, but the first version really did just flow right through, you know, and I was like, wow, there it is. And then, you know, I was working with the publisher on, filling in some of the gaps and, improving on the story and tweaking it and all that. And as we had that conversation, then new insights and ideas came up, and he, you know, gave some suggestions. So then my head started going in different directions, and I started thinking that the story I started with, which is the story that's in the book, wasn't good enough. And I was like, okay, no, there's another story. And so then I was like, okay, what about that time in my life?
Started overthinking it.
I totally did. So I ended up doing like five different drafts of other stories that I started off, you know, really strong. And then they piddled out like a page and a half into it. And I was like, oh no, that one's not really going to work either. And so I did that a few times.
Yeah. Is this your other relationship? Is this the relationship itself? I mean, think it to death, like trying to, this must be right because it's got this, it's got that, it's got that, it's got that. So it's got to be right. But it wasn't the one from your heart.
That too, yeah. And that's a whole part of the story, is connecting the head and the heart and allowing things to flow and accepting and just being, oh my goodness. But it was interesting because as you know, after these like five other drafts, I'm like so frustrated. What am I writing in the book? And I said, okay, stop, Kim. You know, I always say to myself, use your tools. So I was like, okay, stop, just get quiet. Come on, what's the story that wants to be told right now? And it clicked. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, it's a story I started with.
It's the first draft.
And we can add some extra stuff in there, but no, the first draft, that's the one. So I think that's just, I thought that was just so interesting because my intuition told me from the start, this is the story. And yet I had
easy, right?
It was so easy. And I had to revisit that whole experience just to be able to write a story that's titled Intuition. Can you hear me now?
Well, I think that this is back to, you know, this actually everything cycles perfectly because look at this. We started talking about how we can't ignore our inner child. We can't ignore the things that have been happening to us. We can't override it.
Yes.
For very long without having consequences. We've got to come back and look at it. And the same, we can't ignore intuition. We can't ignore the insights that we're getting. We know.
I think for some people, like I know I've always been very pro mental health, pro, you know, life purpose and personal growth, all of that. Like I just, to me, that's always been, yes, I love it. And I want more.
I do know. Like me, I feel the same way.
Yeah, but I've learned like, oh, you know, not everyone feels that way about it. And the, you know, what I've learned from other people is to some of them that's, you know, I think it goes back to thinking that having this perception that that's weak and that, oh, you know, oh, that's mucky and muddy. And why do I need to do that? You know, I can do things on my own, but then, you know, maybe not ever really getting there. And that's not to say that people can't do things on their own, because we absolutely can. But I'm saying for those people who have a level of resistance to really going within and doing that work, whether it be on their own or with a professional, where am I going with this? Is that I think some people, oh, come on, the train of thought, you were right on there. I think some people think that it's going to always be this thick, in the trenches, mucky, heavy duty, unpleasant, depressing work. And I, for me, so this is my experience, but I think this applies to others. For me, the first many times, yeah, it might be. But the better you get at it, the more tools you gain, your skills, not pills movement.
Oh, yeah.
The more skills you gain.
The more skills you have.
The easier. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And so that's it. That's the easier.
It's actually fantastical because the intuition, you know, when you open up to some of these methods, like, you know, I do drum journey meditations and things like that, or any kind of guided meditation. Well, that's just fantastic. I mean, who doesn't want to go do that and find out information from your subconscious or from your guides or whatever? I mean, to me, that's fun. I like that.
Me too.
Why wouldn't I want to do that? So it doesn't have to be even a healing your early childhood memories thing. You know, would there be some tears? Would there be some sadness? Would there be some connection back to that? Of course. But like, it's such a relief to witness it. It's such a relief to like, let it out, let it be expressed and see it and go, okay. You know, and really give yourself love. Like, I love you so much, inner child. Like, I love you for what you went through. So, yeah, like even, you know, and no story is beyond compassion. I wouldn't go back to that a little bit. Just close up there. All of our stories are worthy of validation, worthy to be seen, worthy to be witnessed, worthy of compassion, and worthy of telling in a book.
Thank you, Carrie. You know, one of the biggest parts of my journey has been about learning to feel my feelings, like understand what that really is telling me, And so that's actually two things. So actually allowing myself to feel, but then also saying, okay, what is the message here? What is my, what are my feelings, my heart, whatever, what is that communicating to me? And the easier, you know, the more I practice that, the easier everything else gets. So the easier it is to be in that flow and go, oh, we got a little off over here. So, okay, let's connect back to that. And I think that's key for a lot of us. I think going back to what you were saying at the beginning about, you know, how different cultures respond to healing, I think here in, you know, here in America anyway, there's a lot of emphasis and value on thinking, analyzing, research, you know, what we see, we believe. And honestly, I think it's a little backwards. I think it's more believing is seeing, and you know, the feelings, like, ah, you can't discount those things. That's oh my gosh, there's so much gold and juicy nuggets in your feelings.
The feelings are like a ripe treasure trove for discovery. You're going to find it out in those feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't avoid the feelings. Don't avoid your life experience. All the things that happened to you happened for you. They're for you so that you can find the puzzle pieces that you can put your puzzle together in the way that you want it to be.
And it can happen quickly. You know, again,
for it doesn't have to take a lifetime.
Yeah, for anyone who's like, I don't want to do that, that's going to take me forever. You know, no, it literally can be just pause and say, okay, look, that situation, that hurt. And what did that feel like? Okay, you know, this is how I do it. What did that feel like? Where is that in my body? Get that visual. And then start to release that and fill that space with love. I mean, literally, I think this perception I had that some of my healing was going to take so long and it was going to slow me down in life, I think that just the perception of that alone slowed me down. Once I realized, no, it actually can happen quicker. I know we said earlier, you know, it can really take a lot. I mean, you're going to have some of this and some of that, but it can also just be really quick. That was such a surprise to me once I had some of those moments. I'm like, oh, I was so scared of that for so long.
I spent a lot of energy in resistance.
Yes. Oh my
and
gosh.
I could have just surrendered, looked at it, felt it, let it go, and then been on to my journey in half the time or less.
Yeah.
Or with the right tools, the right skills.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Now you have any offers with any way for people to connect with you and work with you deeper?
Absolutely. So people can find out more by going to my website, kimoneillcoaching.com. And O'Neill is O-N-E-I-L-L. I also, of course, have a Facebook page, which is Kim O'Neill Coaching, and Every Day is a New Day show. Pretty long. I've been considering separating the two. But absolutely, yeah. So on my website, you can actually find a link to a free guided meditation. That's been a whole part of my journey, is learning how to connect. And I love being able to now provide that to my clients. It's such a beautiful space just to have a few moments to yourself and just get calm, ground yourself. So that is one of my freebies. For those creative types out there, especially who love affirmations, I do have a free affirmation coloring page. And I love that freebie. So they can find that on my website as well. And to find out more about the book, the book's doing really well, and the feedback coming through has just, it's just been very rewarding to go, okay, like, you know, this, okay, good. There was value in me sharing my story. And so anyway, so you can go to positivemindedpeople.com. You can also just go to Amazon and type in Positive Minded People book, and you'll see it on there. And yeah, thank you so much for having me on your show,
Absolutely.
Carrie.
Absolutely. I love your energy. I always have a great discussion with you. And I look forward to more interactions in the future. And everybody, you know, check out the Positive Minded People book. And go check out, there will be the links to the free gifts will be in the email sequence for you. So you'll be able to just click and go and claim the coloring page and the free meditation. And yeah, check out that book and check out Kim O'Neill and check out her show. And I'll put a link to that too. Okay. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you next week. Here come the kisses. Love you guys. See you later. Bye.
Awaken the show. Take a sip from the drip of nectar. of the source of who you are.